This is BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. It's time now for the Christian War Room with your host, Michael Schonborn. Now, here's Michael.
Thank you, Dale, for this introduction here, and welcome to the Christian War Room. We are talking about an interesting subject. It's the whole subject, the whole phenomenon of sleep paralysis, you know. You go to sleep, you suddenly wake up in the middle of the night, you experience some bizarre stuff, suddenly you get prodded or pushed, or some people say they can't breathe because it's like somebody's sitting on their chest, you see shadows, things like that, you know, your hair stands on edge, and if this has happened to you, or if this is happening to you on a regular basis, you are not alone. You know, most people don't dare to talk about it. But if you sort of listen around and listen around your circle of friends, you will find that a lot of people have at one stage in their lives, or maybe still now, are affected by it as well. Okay, let's have a look at some scripture reading here. and this is what the Christian War Room is all about. We are not talking about the Islamic concept of war, you know, where we have to kill people and further our cause through bloodshed. We are not talking about this, but I'm going to Ephesians chapter 6, and Paul says here, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that he may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." And then he says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand." Okay, so let me just zoom into this verse one more time, you know, just a couple of aspects which come out from this. That's Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. "We do not wrestle against flesh and blood," so clear, our battle is not against, you know, people, but it's against the wiles of the devil. So the schemes, you know, the stuff the devil does. And against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. So here we know, we've got the answer. So what are we fighting against? It's spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. What do these spiritual hosts do? They do deceive people. They do try to gain power. They do try to gain control. And that is what we are fighting against. And it's an ongoing battle. It's an ongoing battle we are dealing with. They're trying to destroy us. These guys are freaking out because we belong to the Most High, and we are soldiers. And the thing is, we are by nature. It's not. It's how shall I say? It's a little bit like conscription. Yeah, a little bit like conscription. In Germany, when you were a male and you were of a certain age, so you were 18 or over, they would draw you in and they would see whether you were fit for military service. And that was in the past. They don't do this anymore, and they're struggling to recruit now. And you had to go, yeah. And it was pretty gruesome as well. I always, in Paderborn, my hometown, we had the British Army was stationed there. Theirs wasn't a conscript army. It was, you know, volunteers came into it, and you had to make a case to get into the army. So you had to, you know, apply and prove to them that you're suitable for the job. But they were really well looked after. You know, they got good income. They had a lot of privileges. They could save a lot of money, you know, being there in the forces. They were very professional. They were very, very keen as well. They all looked after one another. And the conscript army, in contrast, was very different. You were a little bit like cannon fodder. You were only there for a short time. Everybody knew it. So people tended to give you a hard time. Now, I was physically unfit. I had an injury, and this injury stopped me from joining the army, so I can't say too much about it. But my brother, he went in, and he had to go. He actually did enjoy it, and he did very well whilst he was there, but there were also aspects which were very depressing and frustrating, and I could hear all the stories from what he had to say. So anyway, when you become a Christian, and when you sort of become a child of God, you know, you become, and we've got these stages of child, young men, and fathers, and don't get hung up on the sex of it. So if you are a woman, you know, child, young woman, mother, I guess you could say. But there are these three stages which are in the Christian development. And the child is just knowing God has saved you. And then the young man, it's quite interesting. It's to overcome the devil. And you can check it out in first epistle of John, where he talks about this. And these are the stages in your development. And once you come to adulthood within a spiritual sense and a Christian sense, you've walked with the Lord for some time and you sort of understand how it is and you know you are saved, you are firm in your salvation, God is going to recruit you to warfare, whether you want to or not. Yeah, you'll be part of it. And the reason is we are in a battle. And it's a bit like this, you know, if you live somewhere and somebody is, you know, beating up your child, you don't stand and watch it for too long. Eventually, you're going to, hopefully the first time this happens, but eventually, if this is like a, you know, happening every day, you're going to intervene, you're going to get in there, and you're going to take up the battle, and you're going to protect your family. Hopefully, you know, this is what you will do. Okay, so this is the same thing as well. We are in a war, and the devil has got authority upon this world. But you know what he's doing is he's drawing people away. He's giving them a hard time. He's bent on destruction, and his vassals, you know, his underlings, are doing the same thing. So they are doing the same thing. They are bent on destruction, and sometimes we get this phenomenon that people, they get woken up in their sleep and they see the shadows moving up in their bedroom. They've got people sitting on their chests and they can't breathe. They are paralyzed. We've got this whole alien abduction phenomenon. We're going to look into this as well. There's a guy called Guy Malone from Roswell in New Mexico. And I'm not sure whether he's still there. He was there some time ago. He had a ministry called Alien Resistance where he's picking up on this stuff. And he found out some very interesting thing that you know, when people, you know, suddenly get woken up in the middle of the night and there are these alien entities and they try to, you know, take him or take, not him, but, you know, these people, they are molesting and they start prodding around and stuff like that. And this whole abduction experience finishes the moment people call upon the name of Jesus. Yeah. And sometimes they are not even believers. They are just people that have heard about this. And maybe, you know, their parents or very often their grandparents have, you know, given this on their way to, you know, call on Jesus when they are in trouble. And they planted little seeds. And these seeds come to fruition. And at that moment, they just call on Jesus. And when they do this, the whole experience stops. It's all over. It stopped. And sometimes you get like some of these critters telling them to, you know, to stop this and to, you know, cooperate with them and it'll be okay and stuff like that. But if they don't cooperate, they call on Jesus, it stops. Yeah, it stops. There's something very terrifying about the name of Jesus, you know, in the realm, in the other realm, in the principalities which are set up against God. There's something very, very terrifying about this. It's interesting as well, you know. When I look at one anti-Christian religion and you kind of think of yourself, okay, you know, what can the devil do? How can the devil sort of, you know, put up a competing religion to Christianity? And you think, okay, what he does is he comes up with the ultimate prophet. He has got some scriptures in the Bible which we know refer to the Holy Spirit, but, you know, some people interpret it to refer to this prophet. He gives him a lot of ideas. He, you know, he celebrates carnality. So the guy's got 13 wives and lots of, you know, innumerable concubines. And when you sort of read about his life, how much is true is another question. It's actually quite shocking. Yeah, quite shocking. And this guy is supposedly a prophet. And then he comes up with all these messages, you know, God is great and and God is this and that and the other and he's all merciful. And then he comes up with some really weird stuff. One of them is in one of the book this prophet is, I'm talking about Islam if you haven't latched onto this at the moment, but one of the messages is that God is the greatest of all deceivers. That's what it says in there. And that's totally unbiblical, you know. God is true. God is the truth. The truth is in him. He doesn't deceive anybody. Yeah. And again, you might come up with a couple of scriptures here and there, but it's but he allows deception to take place. And when we look at Romans, if people choose to be deceived and they choose to reject the truth, he gives them over to deception, including the consequences of it. And then another one is interesting as well. What you find in the Quran is that, I have to dig those scriptures out from the Quran. I think it's Surah 3 or 5, if I'm not sure. I have to dig it out. You can check it out yourself. But there's one verse in there, and it says that Jesus wasn't really crucified, that everybody thought it was Jesus, but really he took him up and he put somebody else on the cross. And so, in other words, he didn't really die on the cross, according to the Quran. He didn't really go to the grave, and he didn't really resurrect, and he didn't really shed his blood on the cross. So it's very, very interesting. I thought, this is so fascinating to look at these scriptures, because at that point you know where this religion is coming from. It's coming from the abyss. This is the central message for this world, that God became flesh, that he let himself be nailed on the cross for your sin, that after living a perfect life, he took up the punishment you deserve, and death could not hold him. He resurrected on the third day. Death could not hold him. Death could not hold him. And in this we know, and he appeared to many people, and lots of people saw him, thousands of people saw him after his resurrection. And then he ascended into heaven, and he's now sitting at the right hand of God. And everybody who believes in him, you know, being elevated at the cross, will find salvation, will find salvation for eternity. And this is the crucial message. And what do we get, you know, instead? We get, you have to do your Hajj, and you have to go run around a square block and kiss a meteorite, because that will wash all your sins away, and so on. And you think, that is not the gospel. That is something else. That is a gospel of sort of you do, and if you're lucky, you make it. And let me tell you, you're not going to make it. Nobody's going to make it. There's only one way to God, and Jesus said this. He said that I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. This is what Jesus said. You only come to God through Jesus Christ and through what he has done. Yeah. Only one way. One way only. Anyway, let's come back to the subject, to the so-called sleep paralysis. Yeah, these entities are freaking out when you mention the name of Jesus. And yesterday we were looking at this, or the last talk here in the Christian War Room. We were looking at this whole thing, you know, where there was some Catholic guy, some Catholic exorcist, and he did his stuff, and he used all his equipment, and he could find out there was really some, you know, something going on with this guy who was suffering of the sleep paralysis, and this entity was just tormenting him. And he said that, you know, he tried to talk to this entity, and if he did, it got even worse. And it was just sort of really having a go at him, you know, pulling his leg and stuff like that physically. And he just wanted to get rid of it. And obviously then the Catholic guy came and he put this little tape recorder up, and I'm going to play this in a minute. We've got a bit more time today. He put his little tape recorder up, and he asked this entity all these questions, and there was nothing going. And then he asked him about, he challenged him in the name of Jesus Christ. And then that thing just freaked out, and he could hear this on this recorder. It wasn't a tape recorder. It was one of these highly sensitive things, probably picking up some ultrasonic sound as well. But that thing just freaked out. And then, you know, he said to the guy the right thing. You know, probably he wouldn't have a full go at him because there's a little bit of faith in him, but he needs to have more faith and all that. And my thinking about this whole thing is, no, you don't need to have more faith. You need to enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ. You need to have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. More faith is not enough. You need to belong to Jesus. That is what is necessary. You need to have surrendered your life to Jesus wholeheartedly, not just 20%, 90%, not 99%, but 100%. Let him be Lord God of your life. That is the essence. And then the next thing is, you know, once you are a child of God, you're washed clean by the blood of Christ, these entities have got no right. And this is, again, when you look at it from a biblical point of view, very often what we don't understand is that the enemy has only as many rights as we give to him, if we let him have it. The earth has been given to us as mankind. And as we abandon God and we yield to entities from the dark side, that is how they can get more and more rights in our lives, and they can start traumatizing us and destroying us. The important thing is we need to get back to God. We need to yield to God. We need to make him number one in our life. And that is really the important thing. That is the essence. And at that point, those rights and the damage they can do to us is going to be very, very limited. Very, very limited. We're going to do some talks as well. You know, what happens to nations who have abdicated from God? Who have said, God, we've got enough of you. And we had a look at this in the past with the Russians and the Soviet Revolution, the Germans and the Nazi Revolution, where they wanted to have German Christianity. You know, Jesus couldn't possibly have been a Jew kind of thing. And this is what they did. They went away from God, and these experiments went badly, badly, badly wrong. We're going to look at Mao Zedong as well, you know, where a man became a god and what happened to the nation. And it's sometimes very painful when you look at what is going on. I want to look at another one, Pol Pot, as well. But let's have a look at the sleep paralysis thing. And we need to, again, just to make this point, we need to get back to God in all areas of our lives. And these entities, they may have rights which might be hereditary, which might be linked to objects, which might be linked to sins we have committed. And we need to repent of all of our sins. I would ask you to reach out to God to reveal to you through His Holy Spirit of what you've done wrong in your life, and to have a really heavy conviction of sin, so that you can go into repentance of all of them. I'm sure if you could see how we really are, it would probably crush us to death. Yeah, but God will show us to the level we can take it, so that we can move on with Him. Always bear in mind, you know, the first thing in our life should be our relationship with our Lord, and all the rest is secondary. Yeah. And also, we should make sure that we are okay with Him. Okay, we are running out of time again. I'm going to play this this excerpt, and then we'll have a quick discussion, and then we'll move on next talk with Guy Malone and the Alien Resistance bit.
Demonology is the study of fallen angels. It's the study of things that are evil, whether it be religion, whether it be demons, devils, things of that nature. I come across cases that are malevolent, evil, demonic, or diabolical on a monthly basis. Out of a month, I may get 5 or 6 cases, you know, that are truly have activity that are evil.
Lou and his assistant go to the hostel and meet Ted for the first time. They will interview him extensively to try and determine whether his attacks are psychological or supernatural.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you some questions. Some of them are going to be maybe a little bit personal, but it's all going to be to help you. Okay? I'm not here to harm you. I'm not here to exploit you or anything else like that. I'm here to find out what's going on.
I would give anything for all these experiences that I'm going through to totally come to an end, to totally stop.
Are you currently using any illegal drugs?
No.
All right. Have you ever taken hallucinogens?
Nope.
This means acid, anything like that?
Nope.
Have you ever submitted to a sleep study?
Nope.
Have you been diagnosed as having any psychological ailments? Narcolepsy, Tourette's syndrome, dissociative personality disorder?
Nope.
Nothing like that? Okay. Are you willing to get help if it turns out that what is happening to you is purely psychological?
Yeah.
After 2 hours of questioning, Lou decides that Ted's case warrants further investigation.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to remotely be watching him from another location, actually right above him. and I'm going to set up a laptop with a video camera feed that's going to be showing me video of what's going on and also audio of what's going on. And if anything does happen in here, I'll be here in the room within a matter of seconds.
Right now we're directly above Ted. I've been monitoring him. All of our equipment is set up. And we're waiting to see if anything happens, any movement, any kind of globules appear, okay, which are balls of light. See what happens now that we're all set up.
Ted said that something grabbed his leg. Went on video, we see his leg go. I'm going to be going down there with him, and I'm going to sit in there and see what I get on tape, because I'll be running EVPs also.
EVPs, or electromagnetic voice phenomena, are recordings of inexplicable sounds which some people believe are supernatural. It is claimed that these recordings can capture spirit voices, which exist on a frequency beyond human hearing.
Since he's claiming that, things were touching him before, and that something actually pulled his leg, I'm going to sit by him, but I'm going to be asking some questions on the recorder and see what we get.
I've tried communicating with it, and not only did nothing happen, not only did I not receive a reply, the assaults got more intensified within about 10 minutes of asking.
Beginning of EVP, July 30th, 2001, at precisely 2:45 a.m. If there is a spirit around us now, please tell me your name on the recorder. Are you a spirit that is out of the light of God? Please release whatever has been performed on Ted. I ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. End of recording.
As expected, there is no audible sound in the room. But when the scene is played back from the point of view of the recorder, an apparently different picture emerges. The tape recorder begins to register unusual sounds after each question.
There is a spirit around us now. Please tell me your name on the recorder. Are you a spirit that is out of the light of God? Please release whatever has been performed.
Then Gentili mentions Jesus.
I ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.
The sound that you just heard in some people's minds could be portrayed as static discharge, which to me is ridiculous, because I've heard the things scream blasphemies, okay, in people's houses, and include the client's name, people's names, people who aren't even a part of the case. What you heard is, it's as real as it gets.
Yeah, that was the talk. You can listen to the whole start of this program about sleep paralysis in the last talk. You can do this at christianwarroom.com. And if you go to talk number 213 at christianwarroom.com, you can listen to the previous talk as well, depending whether you're listening to via the radio or whichever means you hook up to us. Now, a couple of things I need to say about this. Yeah. Number one is, you don't enter into discussions with these entities. They are wicked. They are evil. They are there to destroy you and to deceive you. So whatever they say anyway, you can't trust them. You can't count anything to this. Yeah. But what you can do is, you can command them as a Christian. You've got the rights to tell them in the name of Jesus to break any rights, number one, they have. And what you find in the Bible as well is very often that if they manifest in any form whatsoever, the first thing Jesus did is he was asking for the name of these entities. And then he was using the name and told them to go to hell, de facto, yeah, to come out. The most important thing is whenever you deal with this stuff, I mean, number one is if it happens to you, you can call upon the name of Jesus. When you've got your sleep paralysis and it's not there, you can do this in your head if you can't speak. And you will find, you will see that this experience will be over very, very quickly. And that these entities will go. The next thing is surrender your life to Christ. That is the most important thing. Have all your sins washed away by the blood of Christ. Put your trust into the blood that was shed at Calvary, you know, at the cross of Calvary where Jesus died. Put your trust in that and claim it for yourself. And claim it for yourself even when these experiences happen to you. And you will find that they will let go straight away. This is one of the things they seemingly can't stand. They can't stand the name of God. They can't stand the name of our Savior. They can't stand the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. They can't stand this. And they freak out and they go away and they leave you alone because it's too bad for them. So that is very important. Okay, we're going to look in our next talk. And what else? I'm just trying to think back. Anything else which we need to say? Obviously, you know, the guy comes from a Catholic background. So as far as Catholicism is concerned, you know, by the, you know, the day you're baptized and you are in the church and all that. As far as the Bible is concerned, it's not the day you're baptized. It's the day you give your life to Christ. And ideally, then after that, you should be baptized, yeah, through full immersion in water. You know, as a sign of what has happened, that you've given your life to Jesus Christ. That is really the main thing. Now, he, as a Catholic, can't tell him that, even though I'm not sure whether he would know this or not. But it is important to, you know, to come to Jesus and to come with him wholeheartedly and to not hold back, but to just invite him into your life. The cruel reality is we are lost sinners. We are slaves to sin, and this slavery needs to be broken in our lives. And the only way we can break it is through Jesus Christ. That is the important thing. And I think that is what this guy is missing out on. And once you are a property of Christ, we belong to him. And there's no rights, there's no nothing these entities can do in our lives. And the balance of power has shifted from them to the other side, to God's side. Okay, this leads us to the end of our War Room session today. Tomorrow we're gonna be carrying on with, I hope I can find it. It's going to be a guy called Guy Malone, and he is from Alien Resistance in New Mexico in Roswell. I used to be there some time ago. Interesting what this guy has to say. So we're going to look at this tomorrow, and it feeds into the same concept of sleep paralysis and of people just, you know, being woken in the night and having some weird experience. Yeah, we are, again, just to sum it up, we don't believe in ETs. We believe in extra-dimensional entities which come to us from another dimension, give us a hard time. And the great news is that we can call upon the name of Jesus Christ and we will be saved. So that is very important. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I just want to praise you and thank you, Lord, that you are the name above all names. And to your name, every knee must bow in this dimension and in every other dimension. I praise you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
For the past half hour, you've been listening to the Christian War Room with host Michael Sean Bourne. For more information on how you can participate or find out more about the Christian War Room, simply go to ChristianWarRoom.com. That's ChristianWarRoom.com.